Let's play some cards.
From Harrah's St. Louis Casino and Hotel, this is The Final Table, starring Team Poker Stars pro Dennis Phillips with Paul Harrah's and the poker coach, Joe McGowan. Brought to you by Poker Stars, Reactor Watches, and the Poker Players Alliance.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
You got to know.
Now, from the Harrah's St. Louis Poker Room, here are Dennis and Paul on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
And this week, we are not coming to you from St. Louis. We are coming to you from high atop the Las Vegas Strip at the Venetian, which is the home of the first event on the North American Poker Tour, the NAPT, a huge Poker Stars event here. I am Paul Harrah's alongside Team Poker Stars pro Dennis Phillips and the poker coach Joe McGowan. We're all here, and we're all not in the tournament anymore. Started on Saturday. I went out on day one. Dennis and Joe both made it to day two. Day four is in progress today of a five-day event with a huge turnout. Before we talk about ourselves, how about the number of people that showed up? What was the final number? 800 and what?
872 for the first event. Unbelievable.
That really is amazing.
Well, when we started setting this up way back, we started in August, actually, for the preliminaries. We were hoping to have somewhere around 400 people in our main event. I think we succeeded.
Yeah, I think you did. Congratulations to the people at Poker Stars, and also congratulations to the people here at the Venetian who really know how to run deep stack events.
Absolutely. They've been running them for several years now, a number of them, and this is the best one they've had by far, and it's a lot of kudos to those guys.
This was a $5,000 main event, as they've done before at other places around the world. I think 872 people meant you had a prize pool of over $4 million. First place will be somewhere around $750,000 or $800,000.
Yep.
And, they spread the prize pool out pretty nicely here. And, I was impressed by the number of people who really knew what they were doing. You get into some big field events and you got a lot of dead money in there.
Yep.
A lot of these young online players were really, really good. Did you run into any of them, Joe, at your table?
Yeah, my first table, when I sat down, I'd say seven of the guys were very experienced, excellent players, mainly online is probably their background, but really skilled. Two weak spots that I was really happy to see.
Yep.
And I got none of their money, and they were out within 3 hours. And they got replaced by one big-time pro and another two-time winner of a WPT event. So I'm like, okay, my 2 week spots are gone.
And who were those people?
Scott Fishman, and then, believe it or not, I actually can't remember the name of the other guy, but I know he's won two WPTs. He's
wow.
A local. I've seen him here all the time. I see him playing. He plays over at the Red Rock a lot.
Yeah.
Both great guys, and I've never really played with Scott Fishman before. What a nice guy. Really enjoyable to play with him. He kind of had a bad run and was out early himself, not before I doubled him up, but then he was out shortly after that. But great guy, and as you guys mentioned, the Venetian and Poker Stars collide and put this thing together. This is like a dream.
Yeah.
I mean, this was such a nice event, and I'm excited. With Poker Stars behind this, being able to back this deal and run satellites online, I mean, I feel like poker, I don't know, it was maybe going to level, I felt. With the numbers, at some point it had to level.
Yep.
But these events, I think, will be consistently huge, consistently great, and the people really knew what they were doing, and it's a lot of fun.
Outside of the World Series of Poker, how many 5K events do you get 872 people into?
Oh, this is phenomenal. The other thing that speaks great volumes about the Venetian and about Poker Stars is the people that actually came here, the pros that came here. When you look at this lineup, it just is unbelievable. We talked to a number of them while we're here, but when you have Kathy Liebert and Phil Hellmuth and a dozen of the Team Poker Stars pros showing up here for this thing, there's a reason they're coming here.
Yep.
They like the setup, they like the tournament structure, and they like the prize pool. I mean, what's not to like?
I actually had Kathy Liebert and Phil Hellmuth at my table, and I'll tell you a story about that a little bit later on. And also in this hour, you're going to hear from Kathy Liebert. I took her aside during one of the breaks, and we talked for about 5 minutes or so. We also spent a lot of time in the Poker Stars Player Lounge on Friday, with Greg Raymer and Vanessa Russo and Joe Hashem. Joe, we've been trying to get on the show for a year and a half, but because he lives in Melbourne, Australia, it's always been tough for us to get a half hour of his time. And we finally talked to him, and we got Joe Catta again, and Tom McAvoy, who was the first guy to ever be named a Team Poker Stars Pro.
Absolutely.
1983 World Champion.
Who's getting married in May.
Congratulations to him.
Absolutely. Cool. He just sent me an invitation.
We're not going to have all of those interviews for you today, but you will hear from Kathy Liebert and a non-pro by the name of Brad Garrett, who I always go to because he's a funny guy. So we're going to get to that a little bit later on.
And one note, when you were talking about the first table you were at, I sat down. There was one empty seat, but the rest of them I looked, there were four professional players here. There were two online qualifiers. It was a tough table, and we're going, I hope this other guy comes in. It's somebody I've never seen before. Yeah, it wasn't quite Barry sat down next to him.
Barry so Greenstein?
So that finished off my table. It went, okay.
And my theory of how I love to play against the bad players and take my chances, it's not working for me. You know, last year in the main event, this year I get like a horrible table draw, great, great players, and I'm able to actually run terribly. I don't want to tell bad beat stories, but I'm able to end up the day average chips.
Yeah.
You know, and the next day, I get a good table. And boom, I'm out.
Yeah. You did get in there with 50K or so, which was right around average on day two, and didn't last even a couple of hours.
No, not even a couple hours. But, maybe we'll talk about the hand.
Let's talk about it right now.
Okay.
What happened?
Well, as I said, I really feel I ran poor the first day. I never had a great situation come up where you'd figure once in a day, you're going to be sitting there and you turn the nut straight, or you maybe even flop a flush, or just something great happens and you turn a full house.
Yeah,
that wasn't my day today, but in the long run, I've had so many good days in my cash games and in other tournaments that I've played, and I've had my good runs, and this was my time to maybe have a tough go.
Yep.
So I get an upfront raiser, and I look down at two black kings, and I've trickled down in chips a little bit from the earlier start in the day, and I'm at about 40,000, two black kings, and I go ahead and put in a pretty significant re-raise, and I really wanted to isolate the original raiser, but I'd be happy if someone wants to come over the top, and I'll go for the whole amount right there with those two kings at that point. And I was surprised that someone behind me just called, because there was a raise up front, and I now re-raise, and I hadn't been active yet, and this other guy hadn't been active yet. So I really had a tough time putting him on a hand. I was thinking ace-king was my first thought, and maybe a small pocket pair, and he wants to try to flop the set. Three reaction might be worth it to him. So anyway, the original raiser also calls. And now, I'm not even being greedy. I'm not rooting for a king.
Uh-huh.
My thought process was, please no ace,
sure,
which is normal. But also, now maybe I did get greedy. I started thinking, give me a queen.
A queen high flop?
Queen high flop. I mean, that's in my mind, it would have been a big billboard over my head. Queen high flop, please. Queen high flop.
So obviously you're not putting one of these guys on a pair of queens.
Well, they could have, and if they have a pair of queens and flop a set of queens, I'm going to go home.
Okay.
But you're
thinking one of them has ace queen and the other one.
I figured the first guy, I'm surprised that he called, but now he might feel priced in. His range is really wide. I wouldn't have been shocked if he rolls over queen eight. You know what I mean? He just opens up a light raise. I don't think he had that. I mean, I probably think he's got like a king 10 or pocket fives or who knows what, really. He's got to have a little something to – he could have a suited connector even. The second guy that, cold called has me nervous. I know I'm ahead, but, ace king is going through my head and maybe these pairs. I didn't know what he had to make that play. But anyway, the flop came out just like I drew it up and dreamed about, queen high, except it came two hearts, but that's still okay. I love where I'm at, and I'm hoping to get some action and get it in there. And not to bore everybody with it, but it didn't end well for me because the original guy in the hand from preflop that was the raiser actually led into the pot. I move all in, and the next guy tanks, and he then calls. And now the first guy had folded, which I was surprised. I thought he might have been priced in, but he folds. And he rolls over ace-king of hearts, and I had my two black kings. And I dodged the turn, which is nice. I usually get aggravated that no waiting, bam, right there in the turn, make it easy for you.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, just one more card to come, and, it was his day, and, hey, it's the way it goes.
And that's the worst possible hand he could turn over there as far as you're concerned.
that I don't really like. You know, I was hoping he had ace queen. That in my head, that's why I was rooting for the queen high flop. I'm thinking ace queen, I can get in there. I'm in great shape.
Obviously, a set would have been the worst possible hand for him to turn over. Right. But for him to be behind, you know, having the heart draw and the overcard ace.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I haven't played for a long time, and I do feel like I played well. I mean, I think if you play poker and you don't evaluate play and feel, you could have played a couple hands different or maybe played a little better. There's a few spots where I was blind against blind, and a guy turned to flush. I didn't give him enough credit, and you know, I lost about 8,000 in chips there at one point, and I probably should have been able to fold my
hand. I'm exactly the opposite. I got no cards, and I played anyway, and I played badly. And, at a certain point when you start with 30,000 in chips and you're bouncing back and forth between 10, 12, 18, 11, 15, you know, 9, things just aren't going your way. You know, you just know it's not going to be your day. I don't have any bad beat stories because I just had a day of beats. That was it. I was behind way too often and never caught up, never had any magical hands. You ran into a lot of sets, didn't you?
Yeah, I had fun seeing how often I can fold, I guess, or something like that. The first level, so you're talking just the first 60 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
Three different times, as it turned out, by the time the hands were played out, I had a pair against another pair, and the guy flopped a set beneath me. Got rid of two of them.
Ouch.
One of them, I know. And I mean, this is poker. It's not that bad. Guy played an excellent hand behind me. The call preflop was a little weak. He'd 3x'd it. It came back to me. I looked at kings. I 3x back, and the guy smooth called. Flops a 5-3 deuce. So I'm feeling fairly comfortable. I can't see him calling me with, you know, an ace 4. I can't see him calling or just smooth calling with aces. The set of deuces, a set of threes. No, it's probably just not going to happen, right? There's a slim chance he could have pocket fives. Okay, start laughing, guys. Anyhow, by the time he got to the river, I'd lost about a third of my stack, and he turned over the two fives.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it happens. I wasn't complaining. He played it very well.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Oh, sorry, Paul.
I was just going to say, we were talking before about how well-run this event was. I do have one complaint, and I bet you guys share it. The $10,000 chips were brown, a dark brown color.
New chips that they just introduced.
Yeah.
Is that right? They don't usually use them here?
Yeah.
No, actually, they what they used before were blue chips. They got brand new or different chips for these. They got different 10,000 ones, and they came out the brown color. So they were stuck with using them, even though, you know.
Usually tournaments try to follow what goes on in cash games. You know,
correct.
$1 chips are white, $5 chips are red, $25 chips are green, $100 chips are black, and so on and so on and so on. The problem with the brown chips, I saw this several times at my table, was people had to, you know, kind of bury them in their stack so as not to confuse them with dark colored chips of other colors, especially the $100 chips.
Have I got a story for you?
Oh, good.
This is first level, first day. Just barely had gone around one rotation. I'm guessing it's maybe the 11th hand dealt in the tournament. All right, so everybody still is pretty well fully stacked. We started with 30,000 in chips here.
Yep.
Right? Not any major changes or shuffles around at all on it.
And everybody's got at least one. Everybody has one brown chip.
Right.
Go ahead.
All right. There was a preflop raise and one caller, so it's head-to-head on it. The flop comes out jack-jack five on it. First guy checks. Second guy checks. River's a 7.
Oh, turn was a 7.
Turn was 7. Absolutely, I'm sorry. Turn was a 7. First guy makes a bet out there of two of the yellow chips, which are 1,000, and a black chip, which is 100. So it's a $2,100 bet.
Mm-hmm.
Guy next to him picks up two of the gold ones there, again, the yellow ones, and the brown one.
Mm-hmm.
And throws it out there and then makes this sudden move like he was almost wanting to reach for it and then pulls back.
Mm-hmm.
By accident,
you go. Right. So anyhow, so he just raised it to $12,000.
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Does anybody at the table say anything?
Everybody looks at it. Oh, my gosh. The gentleman that made the original raise said, if that was an accident, just go ahead, take it back, no problem. The dealer said, no, it's in play. It was action. I'm sorry, but that is a raise. It is now a $12,000 bet,
mm-hmm.
period. So the guy,
which is the right ruling,
absolutely. The dealer handled it very professionally, very well.
Yep.
So the other guy pulls his $100 back and throws his only brown one out there. There's now the $24,000 on top of the other action. Huge pot.
Don't you feel terrible for the poor guy that made the mistake?
Yeah.
Oh, let me finish the story.
Especially when the other guy calls, you got to think.
Sorry.
Well, he made that mistake, and he's obviously behind because this guy has got a calling hand for $12,000 in chips.
Yeah. Anyhow, river comes a 10. First guy checks. Second guy looks up and takes the other approximately 18,000 or 16,000 he had left in front of him, pushes it all out. The first guy shrugs his shoulders and goes, I got all. Uh-huh. I have the nuts.
Uh-huh.
You know, he turns over a Jack 10 for a boat. They made a boat on the river.
The guy that was being nice that said, I'll let you take it back.
Let you take it back, the whole bit like that and everything like that. The other guy, the guy who, quote, accidentally threw out the $10,000 chip, turns over pocket sevens. He had turned a boat on this thing.
Sevens full of jacks.
He got up, was gone, I'm telling you, in negative 5 seconds. The whole bit.
Wow.
The guy sitting there, and we started joking. I wonder how many years he's been waiting to make that move.
Yeah.
He had it down so well. The little throw up, and then the hesitation, and oh, my gosh.
I didn't mean to raise. You know, oh, I only had a full house. You know, why would I raise with a full house?
Yeah, really. My gosh.
I didn't really kill your punchline because it was great that the other guy wins. I mean, how cool is that?
It was.
You love to get those people because, I mean, who likes the angle shooters.
Yeah.
The comment.
You love to see them get beat.
The comment by one of the other guys. Now that's justice.
This is the final table brought to you by Harrah's St. Louis. We are coming to you from the Venetian where the NAPT is going on. We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll hear from Kathy Liebert, who is at my table and is one of the best pros for many years. We'll talk to her a little bit about, you'll hear her talking about the respect she doesn't think that she gets from the poker industry, and also about our table mate, Phil Hellmuth. Very interesting story to share with you there. When we come back with more of the final table from Las Vegas here on 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS and KFNS.com, and the podcast available on the website, thechipleader.com.
From the poker room of Harrah's St. Louis Casino and Hotel, this is the Final Table with the St. Louis poker pro who beat over 13,000 other players in 2 years at the World Series of Poker main event. That's Dennis Phillips and his co-host Paul Harrah's on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Welcome back to the Final Table. We are not in St. Louis. We are in Las Vegas. We've been out here for the NAPT and enjoying that. And here's one of the pros that was at Paul's table on day one.
Here with Kathy Liebert after the fourth level of the NAPT day one. And we're at a table where you've been talking a lot to some of the younger guys at the table. Why?
I sometimes like to have fun while I'm playing poker. It's a friendly table, so I'm having a little bit of fun.
Yeah, but you're doing more than that. You're trying to get some information out of them, right?
Not really. I mean, the one guy started talking to me. I probably shouldn't have said anything to him during the hand. But, you know, I seem like a nice guy. So, it's sometimes fun to chit-chat a little bit.
How has the influx of young players affected your game?
They play a lot more aggressively, so you have to adjust to how they're playing. So in the old days, when somebody re-raised you and you had two queens, you weren't sure if you had a good hand. And now they're re-raising you a lot lighter often, so you have to kind of adjust to that.
When you're sitting in a tournament like this, 800, 900 players, is that the best kind of tournament for you because the prize pool is so big?
Well, I like all the big tournaments. I like all the big buy-in tournaments. Yeah, the more players, the better, really, because the prize pool is bigger. The more the merrier, really. But, any big buy-in tournament I usually enjoy.
How many tournaments a year do you play, do you say?
I play most of the major ones. I probably play one or two on average major tournaments a month, you know, 5 or 10,000. It used to be that there's only two or three a month. If you're really ambitious about it, you could play two or three.
So. We're sitting at a table where there's an empty seat where somebody bought in and they've been blinded off. It's not like they're holding the seat there for somebody who was going to buy in late, which they could do in the first four rounds.
Right.
And I speculated to you earlier that might be Phil Hellmuth because he had tweeted that he was up in the room getting a massage and working on the treadmill, and I figured he'd be making a late entrance a la Phil all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good guess. I mean, you know, out of all the people it could be, I guess Phil is one of the likely choices.
Do you like having Phil at your table?
I do like having Phil at my table. Yeah, I don't like his whining, but I think that the way he plays is exploitable.
How so? I mean, I'm not asking you to give up strategy here, but...
Well, I mean, you know, he's always complaining when anybody plays a weak hand against him, you know, so he's kind of easy to put on tilt, and, he's kind of easy to read. You know, he talks so much that he often gives away information.
Do you think his game has changed in the last several years? We were talking before about young kids affecting your game. How do you think the change in poker in the last few years and all these new players have affected Phil?
Yeah, well, I think that Phil's ego is too big. I don't think he's focused on the game as much as he should be. I think the young players that are coming up are playing much better these days. And I don't think Phil is playing that well compared to what they're playing. You know, he's always complaining about how unlucky he is. And it seems to me that he's really not playing very well. And, you know, his ego has got the best of him.
You and I were talking before at the table about respect. I was telling you how much I respect your game. And I sensed that you don't feel like you get a lot of respect from poker players or maybe the poker community. Is that true?
Well, I think the players that know me, that play with me, do respect my game. I would say that, in general, I don't get that much coverage or press, or I'm not on ESPN very much unless I make a final table or in a televised event, just because they'd rather focus on the people that... You know, they have people they'd rather focus on. Let me just put it that way.
Okay. So even though you're a terrifically solid player and you've won lots of money and you've, you know, gone deep in so many tournaments, that doesn't help you get TV time?
Well, I mean, I am the number one ranked women tournament player. I have over 5 million in winnings. And the women that they tend to talk about at the WSOP tend to be younger type sex symbols as opposed to, you know, so it does kind of upset me a little bit that they don't give me that kind of credit. They don't, when they, you know, when they're talking about women players, they often talk about the younger, sexier women than the women that has the most success. So in that way, I don't think I get as much credit as I deserve.
Speaking of women, we were talking several weeks ago on the show with Nolan Dalla from the World Series of Poker, who wrote a column about women-only poker tournaments, because there have been some people in the last year or so who said it's ridiculous when anybody can sit down at a poker table. Why would you have a tournament that's just for women? How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, there certainly doesn't need to be a women-only tournament. I mean, certainly there's a lot of women that can compete at the same level, and it should be an open field. But I guess they have, you know, specialty tournaments, and that's, it doesn't bother me they have a specialty tournament. But at the same time, you know, you really don't need to segregate the women from the men. So, you know, it used to be a tournament that was a cheap buy-in kind of, and not that prestigious, although the women that have won it in the past years have gotten a fair amount of credit for that. So it's certainly not, you know, there's certainly a lot of women that play in a women's only tournament, so there's still a big field to overcome. You know, I don't think it's necessary, but I don't object to women's only tournaments.
Do you play them?
Occasionally. You know, I certainly would be willing to play them. I don't not play them because they're women's only. Usually they're smaller buy-ins and smaller prize pools, so in general I don't play the smaller tournaments.
Yeah.
But at the World Series, I would play it if I wasn't playing in another event.
All right, last question for you. How far into this next round do you expect to have all of my chips?
You made a few good folds against me. Hopefully I'll have a lot more chips at the end of the next level. If you give them to me, that'd be good. That'd be great. I'll take them.
I have a feeling you're making them off from a kid from Montreal.
Yeah, I mean, the young guys are playing a little looser, more aggressively, so they're probably more likely to give them away than you,
yeah.
I would think.
Thanks, Kathy. It's
a
pleasure.
Sure, thank you.
All right, so there's my conversation with Kathy Liebert on day one of the NAPT here at the Venetian in Las Vegas. I'm Paul Harris with Team Poker Stars Pro Dennis Phillips and the poker coach Joe McGowan. Guys, immediate reaction to what you heard Kathy say.
Well, the first thing, I've got a little comment. I don't know whether you know it or not. I got interviewed by Gary Wise from ESPN here just a week and a half ago, and he says, I have these articles and I have to write them, so I'm going to ask you a question that you're going to probably think is ridiculous. If poker was made an Olympic sport, you know, do you think it should be made one or not?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it for a minute, and what the heck type deal. And I finally said, I don't think so, because any sport that could have Phil Hellmuth that has an Olympian is not an Olympic sport. Right.
Were you surprised about, and I'll give you a little bit of background, that seat that I talked about there,
mm-hmm.
that was empty for four rounds, that's 4 hours?
Yep.
You know, I said by that, by the way, that was probably Phil's seat. I said that to Kathy at the table after about 2 hours. And she said, no, I don't think so. And then at 3 hours, I thought to myself, I should make a bet with her because it's more likely that it is.
Yeah.
And it turned out it was Phil. He came in 4.5 hours late in this tournament. And by the way, then lasted only about an hour and a half. And you probably have aces, and he called with queens for his whole stack. But he and Kathy were going back and forth. She was not letting up on him. At the table, there's obviously been some bad blood, although it was weird at one point.
See?
Phil went out and bought dinner for her and went and got it from the Grand Lux Cafe here at the Venetian. But, you know, stuff that she was saying that I thought to myself, she really means this. She's not just kidding him.
Now, Kathy is a better player than most people give her credit for.
Absolutely. Okay?
But the people in the know, like she said,
yeah,
they know that she's a great player.
Yes. She is. She's right there. The thing of it is, if she thinks she can put Phil on a little bit of a tilt,
yep,
she's going to try and do it.
Oh, sure.
And whatever the comments might be in the whole bit, I'm telling you, she is a better player than most people give her credit for.
And she was very verbal at the table with almost everyone. I mean, I was talking to her a lot, but she was talking to a couple of these other young pros. And obviously, she's, you know, like I said in the interview, she wouldn't admit it, but she's obviously doing that to, you know, get their emotions going and get some information out of them and that sort of stuff. But the stuff that she was saying about Phil, both at the table and then in our interview, I really think that that's how she feels about him, and I wonder how many other pros in the poker world now feel that same way. You know, Daniel Negreanu at one point came over to the table. He was about two tables away from us, and he came over, and he and Phil have been having a conversation about a bet that Daniel wants to make with Phil. And here's the bet, and I'll ask you guys what you think of this. What are the odds, or what line would you set at Phil Hellmuth winning a non-Hold'em bracelet at the World Series of Poker this summer?
Oh,
he's got 11 bracelets, more than anybody else.
Yeah, but
they're all no-limit Hold'em bracelets.
Yep.
What would you set the line at there?
Let me tell you, I don't know what the line is, but unless it's just astronomical, I'm in.
Well, Daniel said 8-1, and Phil said no. And Daniel said, well, what would you want? And Phil said, no, 10-1. And Daniel said, you got to bet. You got to bet. How much do you want to make it for? And Phil said, well, I don't know. We can make it for more later, but I'll tell you what. We'll start at 5,000 to 50,000. You know, 5,000 for me against your 50. And maybe we'll make it more later on. I just have to think about it. But for right now, 5K. And Phil says, Daniel says, I'm a lock. I just won $5,000 from Phil.
Oh, my God.
And when he does it, after he leaves, somebody at the table says, are you and Daniel friends? And Phil says, oh, yeah. He's a friend of mine, and he's my biggest critic.
That is the interesting thing of what you guys even just talked about. It's amazing to me that they rip him apart.
Yep.
And every time now he's on high stakes or whatever it
is. Which we talked about on the show last week.
Oh, and you'll see more of it.
Ripped apart, and people are jumping on. The kind of newcomers that come in that you don't maybe recognize as much.
Yeah, that kid from Norway was getting a couple of digs
in. The other guy that had the purple hair and stuff. And
yep.
Then he changed it the next time. And he's trying to jump in on it.
Yep.
And they just kill him. And but then they still kind of chum around, or he part of his deal. I mean, it's not too good for him, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the other thing that I talked to Kathy about, and that is that notion of respect. Because we talked about how, you know, she does get respect from pros who know her, but a lot of people look over and, you know, they see her at the table and they think, oh, it's another woman at the table. And there are plenty of guys who look at any woman at the table, whether it's Kathy Liebert or Vanessa Russo or anybody else, and they look at them and they go, well, it's a woman. She doesn't know how to play poker. We see that in cash games at home all the time. And we've got at least one woman back in St. Louis who is crushing games because guys treat her exactly that way. But I think Kathy's upset because she has not been signed by Poker Stars or Full Tilt or Ultimate Bet or Victory Poker or Cake Poker or any of these sites. So is that a lack of respect for her?
Well, not necessarily. The first the two-prong thing on this thing. The first thing, it is extremely difficult to get a contract with these sites right now. I'm telling you, I can name from a Paul Wasika. I don't believe he signed with anybody. Tremendous player. Is he with anybody right now? There are just a dozen different players.
Eric Baldwin, the card player, player of the year.
Absolutely.
I don't know if he signed up with anybody,
Paul
but
Harris.
I don't think so.
We stopped the discussion real quick all of a sudden. But no, there is a tremendous amount of very good quality players. Most of the people who made the final table for the last WSOP are not signed by anybody now.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to get one. So that being said, being a woman and being the quality player that she is, there should be some consideration in getting her signed, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only thing with Kathy, and I don't know her well. I've definitely played with her over the years. She may or may not even recognize me. I've hung out at a house one night, and a lot of poker players are there, and like a barbecue thing and all, and she was there.
Mm-hmm.
Super nice. I mean, she is a great player.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no doubt.
You don't win $5 million by accident.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But if that's what she's looking for, and in the comments she made, you know, she's probably right for sure, you know, that they're looking for the model type younger, you know, deal. But, you know, I shaved 2 days ago and I'm coming down to play poker today. No one's going to know who I am when I come in, pretty much, except for my friends, and I'm not looking for a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was looking for a deal, you know, I wouldn't be wearing my comfortable pants with a lot of pockets where I can put my stuff in it. I'd try to have a certain look and all. And,
yeah,
you know, I think she is great, but maybe she doesn't quite help her cause, you know, because she, I think, goes with comfort. You know, she'll wear, like, a funny colored sweatpant outfit or something, you know, which is fine, and I understand. You definitely want to be comfortable when you play poker.
Mm-hmm.
And it really should be about performance. But if I'm going for a deal, I want to make sure I dress the part and look the part and the whole picture.
Well,
so she just doesn't help herself maybe in that spot where maybe she could, because she's a great person. She's a great player. And I don't think you have to, you know, that the young girl, Annette, you know, that's a huge
Annette
Overstad, online
deal. Annette, yes. Yeah.
You know, she's a great player and she's got a deal, and she may not be like a swimsuit model, mm-hmm. you know. So, I don't know.
But she does get dressed up when she comes to the tables.
Right.
And, Dennis, you and I have yep. talked about this. I don't want to name any names, but there are some Poker Stars pros who you've told me you've had to take aside and say, you know what, when you're out in public.
Shave.
You know, shave is a good idea.
So you know I'm not talking to Vanessa, okay? Next. Yeah. But,
you know, but when you're going out there in public and you're representing the company, you can't look like the way you do when you wake up on a Sunday morning and you're going to play online all day.
And, right. and let's be honest about this, too. It's all business. So that if you're wanting to get on ESPN, you're wanting to be on Fox, you're wanting to do this, it's going to have to be some reason for viewership, because they want more people to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's going to be great play. It can be great banner. You can knock the heck out of Phil Hellmuth. But I'm telling you, when he's at your table, the cameras are at your table.
Oh, yeah.
And he is great TV.
We had no cameras at our table until Phil got there at the 4.5-hour mark. And then they were back and forth at our table, I would say, 5 times in 90 minutes.
There's a lot of other people, but the two people you think of to begin with, number one is Phil Hellmuth, and number two is Mike the Mouth.
And Daniel Negreanu.
Well, and okay, Daniel, absolutely, you're right. Those three people, if they're at your table, the camera people know there's going to be good filming here.
And I will tell you, having played with Phil on day one of this event, and he and I both got knocked out on day one, but I lasted longer. I should have had a last longer bet with Phil Hellmuth instead of you guys who made it to day two.
Daniel would have backed you. Okay.
But I will tell you that when the cameras come over and Phil's in a hand, he's totally in Hollywood mode. He's yep. thinking about how much he's going to bet. He's playing with his chips. He's taking longer to make a decision. And I remember I sat there with the guy for 90 minutes. I saw yep. him playing yep. other hands when there were no cameras there, pretty quick about what he was doing. But now he's going to get verbal, and he knows how to
Absolutely.
Play to TV. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Been doing it for years and years, and he does a very good job of it.
Yeah.
And it plays well. And maybe not just Kathy, but I can name you a lot of people that need to think about that aspect of it.
Yep.
And he has, Phil, dressed himself up in the last couple of years. I don't know if you guys have noticed that.
No.
He wears like a long black leather coat that looks very nice, and I don't know how expensive it is, but it looks mm-hmm. nice. It looks expensive.
Yeah.
You know, I think he shaves more often and tries to keep a little more cleaner look than he did years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm almost certain he's done that on purpose.
I will tell you, this is interesting, and I want to get back to Kathy in a second, and she'll be mad when she listens to this, that the conversation about Kathy Liebert turned to more about Phil Hellmuth. Because she didn't, you know.
Sorry, Kathy, didn't mean that.
No, but she's spot on with him. She's so right.
Absolutely.
You know, that's, you know, her comments about him, and really everything that she said is, I thought that was one of the best interviews I've heard, Paul. I hope our listeners enjoy it. You know, she is a great player, and I think she nailed it.
And deserves a lot more respect from all players.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. But the funny thing was, Phil kept talking about how there's no more poker brat. He's this is the year where the poker brat goes away.
Yeah,
he's
right.
he's going to be positive. He's going to be nice. A guy beat him in a hand by outplaying him, and Phil didn't go off on him. He didn't give him a lecture. He didn't do any of that sort of stuff.
Did he?
Okay,
and it was Kathy who pointed out, Phil, the side of your hat with the UB logo on the yeah. front, the side of your hat still says Poker Brat, and you're wearing that in public. You can't go around telling people the Poker Brat is dead if you're still wearing the logo.
Okay, I sense a prop bet here, and I want to hear the over-under until he changes.
What date does the series start?
I mean, he probably in his mind started this when he does his silly handshakes when he gets to the table.
Yeah.
You notice how that's been on TV the last, like, year or two?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to be a nicer person. So he goes around with these insincere, silly handshakes, You know, and then even some of his insincere apologies that he's had when he's kind of screwed up last year's main event or whatever the heck it was, and he went off on that guy with the 10-4, and then he went the next day to apologize, and it was like this horrible apology that wasn't even an apology.
Well, this is one of the things that he did. When a guy beat him in that hand that I was talking about, Phil said, you know what, I'm not going to say anything about how you played that hand because this is the new me, and I'm much more positive, and I'm not going to say a word about what you just did. That, you know, it's one of those passive-aggressive kind of attacks.
You kind of think that maybe, you know, any publicity is good publicity, and for certain people they play that role, and here we are, we're all talking about Phil Hellmuth.
Right.
But he's not doing it for that. He's just like a big goofball, you know, and that's just like his deal. So I really don't think he's like genius enough, like, you know, I'm going to do all this crap on purpose and everybody's going to talk about me. Yeah, I think, I think a lot of people think he really thinks he's like the best player, and all the little goofy things he does, that's just his deal, and it's natural for him, and it does get him a lot of TV time, and it is good for, you know, poker and good for TV. It's just kind of funny to watch the Phil show.
Yeah, and that's what we had. You know, I wasn't having a good day with my cards and my play, but I did have the sideshow.
Right.
Well,
and by the way, even before Phil got to the table, Kathy was very entertaining to play. Sure. I mean, I really had a good time. I'm having a terrible day. I'm miserable because nothing's going right for me in the tournament. But having Kathy at that table, you know, playing with the guys at the table and how it was working out in some of the hands that she was playing, and it was really, really entertaining.
It is nice to get in with some guys that are quality players, or like Kathy there, and they're willing to talk and willing to mix it up. I just don't like sitting down at a table where everybody pulls their hoodie up, puts their glasses on, and won't say a word, won't even look at you.
Right.
Let's just have some fun, guys. This is a fun game. Let's have some fun.
That might be that, you know, we've talked about how the younger internet-type players, sometimes you feel like they're overly aggressive and maybe not that great playing live, but you know, without a doubt, in general, they are changing the face of poker, and they're making it tougher. These guys are good players that can really play.
Yes.
And they're so experienced with so many hands that they've played online, of course. But I guess, you know, that now that you've said that, I can see that. You know, a lot of these guys, they take it real serious. They're a little more quiet. They take a little longer because there's a lot more to think about nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just like looking down, I got two queens, let me do this.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are thinking really, really deep on many levels, but it doesn't make it quite as fun when you play. So I'm in the boat. When I play cash games, you know, and the guys know, boy, I'm chatting it up like crazy. I play tournaments, I'm much more serious. But I still, I don't want to say I'm miserable, but I want to at least enjoy my day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I like to have a little bit of fun when I'm at the table.
And as much as you want to knock Phil, he really does do a lot of things outside the poker table, a lot of charity work. He's always out there willing to chat and to talk. He drives people to the poker tables and to watching on TV. So Phil is good for us.
One other thing about Phil. How much did those not being at our table for 4.5 hours hurt his play? I mean, when you're only there for 90 minutes, and he was bleeding chips from the very beginning. I mean, he played several pots in that hour and a half, and the last one, okay, it was aces versus queens, and the flop came out 9 or 10 high or something like that. And so maybe the chips were going to go in anyway. But I commented after he left, I said to Kathy, I said, I don't know if everybody else calls that guy if they've been playing with him for the last 5 hours like we have. If you've seen how this guy has been playing. And
for
that's
all
a,
of it.
For all of your chips. And I think that's a very important part of other pros wondering, why does Phil do this? I mean, Daniel Negreanu was there from day one, from hand one. You, Dennis, from there from, you know, hand one.
Yeah.
And
look,
on.
My table, Paul, I said how the two worst players at the table gone in 2 hours. Don't you want to be there to pick up the dead money that usually makes a blunder in the beginning and siphons off their chips, then they get desperate and, you know, go all in on a bad play?
Yeah.
I like to be there for that.
Well, one of the other comments we had is people getting used to and comfortable to an environment they're not at. Every tournament you have here, you'll have several people, in this case probably several hundred people, that had never played in a 5K event before.
Yes.
So when they sit down that first hour, they're nervous, a little scared, a little timid, maybe play either overplay it and play too aggressive or not play any hands at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By the time you get there on level four, they're comfortable.
Yeah. Plus, if you're Joe McGowan, you're sitting there and you're taking notes on what reads you're getting off of everybody at the table.
Yeah, I was.
And, you know, my table, we had the same 10 people there, well, 9 plus Phil's chips, for the entire time. Yeah. That after I didn't get moved until the 6th or 7th level. And then I got moved to a table with Oral Hershiser and a bunch of young guns, mm-hmm. and I was out not long after that. Yeah. But and by the way, Oral finally agreed to do the show. We'll have him on
cool.
sometime in the
guy.
Next few months.
Even though we got quad eights against me in the charity event. But we won't go there, Oral.
We should mention that there was a charity event on Friday afternoon Dennis played in, and Jason Alexander was there.
Oh, Brad Garrett and Montel Williams.
Who else was at your
Tito,
table? One of the Wahlbergs, Mark or Donnie.
Yeah, he was there.
Tony Hawk.
Right. It was an awesome group. And I had a gentleman sitting next to me who they kept commenting they could get him a free room in the Sheraton if he wanted, but he wouldn't take him up on it.
What do you mean?
Well, his last name was Hilton.
As in Conrad?
Yes.
Paris's grandfather?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I saw signs here this weekend that Paris Hilton was having her birthday party at Tao, the big nightclub here at the Venetian.
Well, and the other one, the charity that we did it for, which is the food bank here in Vegas, he was one of the original founders of it and helped in it and got it started. He sat down, really nice gentleman. He was hilarious the next to him. He actually played very well. He finished fourth in the tournament.
Really?
Wow.
I think absolutely did.
That's good because he finally will have some money to play with.
Right. Okay. But he did worry him a little bit. The tournament, and again, not to get away from this other, but first place was a buy-in at the PCA, which is a $15,000 package. Second one was a buy-in at the Mohegan Sun, which is the second event for the NAPT.
In April,
the $7,500. Third one was a seat here in this main event, starting the very next day. And him going out fourth, if he'd have finished third, he'd have won the seat there. All right, well, the comment already was, his wife's going to kill us. It's past his bedtime. He's still here. He's a diabetic, and he's already ordered two different plates of food. He's having a blast in the time of his life on this, and we're enjoying the heck out of it. He's a really, really good guy.
Yeah.
But everybody in the background's going, oh, my gosh, somebody knock him out. Please, don't tell him I said that, but please, somebody knock him out.
Plus, he had to go because his granddaughter's birthday party was going to start at midnight, and he had to take a nap.
Well, that's just it. He's way past his bedtime from what he normally does, and he's got this huge party the next day to go to.
Yeah.
I was wondering if my invitation got sent to my California house by accident.
Yeah, mine too.
I don't know what happened with that.
Yeah, I think our invitation got sent to Joe's California.
Yes.
All right, we got to take a break here. Speaking of some of the celebrities, I got a few minutes with Brad Garrett. We'll play you that when we come back. And there's lots more ahead. A reminder that there's a big tournament coming to St. Louis in April. It is 2 weeks. It is the World Series of Poker Circuit event. The satellites for that will start on April 1st. The first of the smaller buy-in events will start on April 2nd. There are tournaments for as little as 200, all the way up to 300, 400, 500, 1,000, 1,500. And then the main event, a three-day event starting on April 13th, will be a 5K event. If you want details on all of this, you can go to the Harrah's St. Louis website, which is very simple, harrahsstlouis.com. You can see the entire schedule. There will be three tournaments a day, and they're not just no-limit hold'em events. There are some of the other events that Phil Hellmuth would do so well in, like the horse and and the limit hold'em and PLO and Omaha High-Low and stud and all the rest. So whatever kind of poker you play, you can get in on it, and it should be a great time. We're hoping to get a lot of people coming to St. Louis to play in this. Dennis and I will be there for as much of it as possible, and we look forward to seeing you there as well. Again, details are at harrahsstlouis.com. This is the final table. We're not at Harrah's this day. We are at the Venetian in Las Vegas on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com, and our podcast's available on thechipleader.com.
Dennis Phillips was third in the 2008 World Series of Poker Main Event and 45th in the 2009 World Series of Poker Main Event. After those two deep runs, what's he going to do this year? Right now, he's talking poker with Paul Harrah's at the final table from Harrah's St. Louis Casino and Hotel on 590 The Fan KFNS.
And this week we're coming to you from the Venetian in Las Vegas, where the final event of what would traditionally be one of their deep stacks tournaments has been turned into PokerStars NAPT event, the North American Poker Tour. It has brought in a whole bunch of Team PokerStars pros and online players and brick-and-mortar players and a whole bunch of celebrities as well. And here's one of the guys who was playing on day one at a table not far from where I was. This is my conversation for a few minutes with Brad Garrett.
I've seen you in some televised events and other live events, and I know you like to talk at the table.
I do.
Is there a time where your chip stack gets down a little bit and you kind of pull in and go into a shell like a turtle?
I haven't said anything in about 3 hours. And everyone's loving it.
They like it when you're quiet?
Oh, God, they love it. But, you know, all I got to do is win someone's blinds, and I'm off at, you know, rattling again. But it's, I start off chatty and, you know, make sure I put everybody down. But after a few hours, hours, you know, getting beat, I'm, you know, back in the shells, you'd say.
When you sit down in an event like this, a 5K buy-in or something that's not just a regular charity event,
right,
do you look around the table and say to yourself, uh-oh, here's a guy I'm intimidated by? Is there anyone who intimidates you at a poker table?
To me, it's like, you know, my holiday table. You know, I went for the holidays. I sit down, I look around me during Hanukkah and Christmas. Everybody scares me. So this is just like the holidays. You know, it's no different.
Do you only play in tournaments, or are you a cash game guy too?
I do both. I do both. I don't play really online, but I do. I got a, you know, every month I got a home game I've had for about 20 years. Not crazy. And then I do tournaments and charity stuff, and I love it, but I'll never have the game to really get crazy.
Who else is in the home game that we might know?
Ray Romano, Jason Alexander, Cheryl Hines, Terry Hatcher, my realtor, my urologist.
Your urologist? My wow.
Name dropper. No, I'll tell you why. I have a very bad tell. When I'm holding a pair, I become incontinent. He's the only guy who could sit next to me.
Well, that's good.
True, yes.
That's good. So you have a doctor on call while you're playing.
I'm a Jew. I have to. Are you kidding?
And of the celebrity non-urologist players,
yes,
who's the best, who's the worst?
Jason is right up there. Cheryl Hines is very good.
Aggressive with the cards or aggressive with the mouth? Which, or both?
Both. Both. You know, I play I shouldn't play, so nobody can put me on what I have. But it's a fun game. It's a friendly game. We like it.
Will you be out here this summer for the World Series?
I think so. I'm just trying to break my record 2 days. You know, just want to get, try to break it every year.
Yeah.
But it's insane. I mean, I'm exhausted here. You know, it's day, what is this, day one?
Yeah.
I just feel like it's crazy. I'm exhausted. But I'm having a good time. And I'm eating a lot of men.
Well, that's important.
This is great in Vegas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Poker tournaments are a meat market.
Go, oh, man. I got two guys from Brazil, and they're speaking. I got an Arab fella making, trying to light a shoe on fire every time the button comes to him. I don't know what the hell's going on here. It's, you know, it's a death table. But they're teaching me a lot. I'm learning a lot.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thanks for
your
time.
It's my pleasure, man.
I appreciate
it. It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
So there's Brad Garrett, one of the many celebrities here at the NAPT. And we should also talk about some online stuff that went on this weekend, which was huge for poker stars, especially the Sunday Millions.
Oh, yeah, there's some records that were set this month by poker stars. The 40th billion hand was dealt.
Mm-hmm.
That's B, not M.
40
B.
billion hands,
yeah,
on PokerStars in their history. And this was also the fourth anniversary of the Sunday Millions. So I think they made a huge guarantee, like $4 million, right?
They did, and they surpassed it. I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but I believe it was 36,000 people that got into it. Unbelievable amount on that. At that given time, they had over 300,000 people playing on at their site. I mean, this poker is growing and growing and growing, and every time I look at this, it just amazes me at how many people are playing it and enjoying it.
Here are the numbers. On the Sunday Millions, 36,169 players.
Holy cow.
Is that a record for a poker tournament? It
Absolutely.
Must be.
No, it's not a record for a poker tournament. It's a record for that large of a poker tournament. But they had one earlier this year that 149,000 people played in on PokerStars.
Wow. The prize pool in the Sunday Millions this week was $7.23 million. First place got $1.1 million. 5,400 people got paid. 5,400
Jeez.
People. Now, here's what's funny about that. 36,000 people were in it, and you told me that in the first hour and a half, 10,000 people went out.
Yeah, they did.
So if you're at that point, okay, 10,000 people are out. There's only 25,000 left, which means you're still 20,000 from the money. You know, for people who've ever sweated it on the bubble, ooh, I'm a few people away from going out. No, you're 20,000 people away from the money, but a long way still to go. We should also mention our thanks to the people at the PPA, the Poker Players Alliance, who represented a lot of the people who are here, who are online players and brick-and-mortar players and home game players like Brad Garrett, who need representation by the Poker Players Alliance to defend the game that we love so much. And this may be the year when we can finally get Congress, which has a few other things on its plate,
a couple,
to pass it. And you know what? I think we should start some sort of petition to Congress to slip in an anti-UIGEA amendment the same way they slipped in the UIGEA in the first place.
You know, it was added on to some bill in the
there
middle of the
go.
Night.
Absolutely.
Some sort of funding bill. If Barney Frank in the House or Bob Menendez in the Senate could do that, that would be great. And
there
the PPA may be working on that.
You sign it at midnight. Why not?
Yeah. If you're not a member of the PPA, go to thePPA.org. That's thePPA.org. That's the Poker Players Alliance. We're all members. And on one of our future shows, maybe even next week, we'll talk. We'll play for you the interview we did with Greg Raymer, who was just in Washington at a big political conference trying to convince those people to put some pressure on Congress to get rid of it as well.
And actually, I have to head to Washington here shortly for another meeting out there for some more of the lobbying.
Great. Great. Once again, the website is thePPA.org. It costs you $20 to join up, and we're proud to be members and proud to also have them as one of the sponsors of the Final Table. All right, next week we'll be back in Las Vegas. Joe will be back at the Poker Coach headquarters in Southern California playing in your home game. And we should talk about this for just a moment here, that Joe plays a lot of cash games. You're really a cash game specialist.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't call it a home game, but it's...
I don't mean a home game. In your home casino.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I play a lot of the cash games.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about cash game strategies, but also we're getting emails from some of our listeners at DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com who are kind of getting psyched up for the big event coming up in April, the 2 weeks of the World Series of Poker Circuit event. So we'll do more strategy talk about that and mix it up for you over the course of the next couple of weeks. And you'll also get to hear some of the interviews that we recorded here for future use. Besides Greg Raymer, we had Vanessa Russo and Joe Hashem and Joe Catta and some of the others. So all of that's still to come in the next few weeks of the Final Table. Next week, we're back at Table 2 at Harrah's St. Louis in their World Series of Poker room. And we hope you'll join us either in person or listen live to us here Tuesdays at 2 on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com, or download those podcasts from thechipleader.com. Final thoughts?
A little bit there. This was a very, very nice weekend. We got together again like we did last year at the WSOP, Paul and Joe and I together doing some interviews and planning everything out. Do you realize it's only a couple more months till the WSOP kicks off again?
That's right, right around Memorial Day.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Wow.
The older I get, the quicker time goes by. It's unbelievable.
Well, this has kind of brought it home. I am looking forward to that. I think June is going to be a heck of a month. I think we can have some great shows from out there. I think this WSOP may be the largest one ever, the way things are going.
Really?
I really do.
I enjoyed that last year when the three of us were together up there.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
Doing all those shows and all the interviews we did.
It's always a pleasure getting together with both of you and eventually paying off Joe on a last longer bet, which we had to do at the NAPT.
Absolutely. But I'm telling you guys, if you've got nothing better to do in June, come on out here. Have some fun. WSOP, look us up.
One of the shows that we'll have to do, maybe in May, right before we come back out here to Las Vegas, we'll talk about coming out to Las Vegas for people who've never done it. If you're going to be a Las Vegas rookie, we'll talk about some of the things that are here in town that you can do in addition to playing poker. Mm-hmm. And every poker player at some point in their life has to come out here and play in a big event, like the NAPT or particularly the World Series of Poker.
And this year with the 57 events, I think there's 7 of them are $1,000 buy-ins. There are going to be some massive fields, but there's some massive pots at the end of them.
Yeah. All right. We're out of time. For Team Poker Stars Pro Dennis Phillips and the poker coach Joe McGowan, I'm Paul Harris. Thanks for listening to The Final Table.